This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester. A week which has seen concerns raised over carbon capture at Peterhead, a delay in rising petrol prices, bad news for a Scottish energy company drilling in the Arctic, support for a wind farm planned for the Aberdeen coast, and stark figures released on fuel poverty. At the start of the week, First Minister Alex Salmond spoke exclusively to North Sound about his concerns over funding possibilities for a carbon capture plant at Peterhead. He's calling for urgent clarification from the UK government, who have pledged to hand over £1 billion to develop carbon capture and storage in Scotland. A pilot project at Longannet in Fife was cancelled last month, and Peterhead Power Station then emerged as the frontrunner for the freed up funding. But Alex Salmond told us doubts have been cast over the cash.
Well, we're looking for urgent clarification from the Treasury because Danny Alexander blurted out that some of the areas where savings are going to be made in order to finance the capital investments in England are from the carbon capture project, which is earmarked for Peterhead. Now, it's only 5 weeks since they turned their back on the Longannet project. The UK government, the coalition government, the Tory-led government told us that £1 billion was available and Peterhead was the frontrunner. Now Danny Alexander is going on television saying they're going to make savings from that £1 billion. So we need clarification. We want to know, are they committed to the Peterhead project? Is that £1 billion really available? On what timescale is it available? Remember, you know, that's less than 10% of 1 year's oil revenues going into the Treasury. And I think it's high time. You know, now we're at the third stage, a third successive competition, and each time the investment's been snatched away from Scotland. I think it's high time the Treasury showed some commitment to putting something into Scotland instead of just taking money out. Well, we've been here before. I mean, 4 years ago, the carbon capture was going to be Peterhead, and the then Labour government pulled the rug at the last minute. 6 weeks ago, the Tory Liberal government pulled the rug from Longannet, but we were told Peterhead was the frontrunner. I know that Scottish and Southern Energy, Shell and the other members of the consortium have been working hard to get their proposals in. Now, we have to know, is the money available? And this is technology which is world-leading. It could be planet-saving. It's hugely important. It's a marvellous investment in its own right. So let's see a little bit of commitment and determination from the Westminster government. Otherwise, they'll run the risk of people in Scotland rumbling on the fact that they seem to be about to finance capital investments in England out of money that was earmarked for Scotland.
On Tuesday, the Chancellor announced his autumn budget statement. There was some good news for hard-pressed motorists, with George Osborne delaying plans to put up petrol prices. The 3 pence a litre rise will be deferred from January until August next year. While other tough measures were revealed, Mr Osborne said the petrol price freeze shows leadership for tough times.
The plan was for fuel duty to be 3 pence higher in January and 5 pence higher by August next year. That would be tough for working families at a time like this. So despite all the constraints that are upon us, we are able to cancel the fuel duty increase plan for January and for the fuel duty from August to be only 3 pence higher than it is now.
North Sound Energy Week.
On Wednesday, it was revealed a Scottish company has failed to find any oil during controversial drilling off the coast of Greenland. Cairn Energy closed 3 wells earlier this year, and now a further 2 have been unsuccessful. The search is stopping for the winter, but could resume when the weather improves again. Shares in the firm have dropped by around 40% over the past year. Environmental group Greenpeace have long campaigned against the Arctic drilling project, and senior campaigner Ben Ayliffe welcomed the news this week.
The truth is that the company has spent over $1 billion drilling in the icy waters of perhaps the world's last great natural frontier, and has absolutely nothing to show for it. And if I was an investor, I would be rather annoyed, I think, because whichever way Cairn tries to spin this, its misadventures in Greenland have been an unmitigated disaster from day one, and the company has squandered a fortune drilling one dry hole after another. And I really think that this shows that the huge technical, economic and environmental risks of drilling for oil in the Arctic simply aren't worth it. Cairn have said that they're not going to try next year. The costs are far too high because they keep on finding nothing up there. And that what they're now saying is that they're going to actually have to try and farm out some of the areas that they own in Greenland to other companies to spread some of the risks. Now, the issue here is not that we need to drill for more and more oil in some of the most fragile and unique ecosystems in the world, like the Arctic. What we should be doing is actually using less of the stuff. Things like making cars more efficient would be a very, very simple way to do that. Drive down demand, because if we carry on the way we're going, what we're going to see is things like Deepwater Horizon style oil spills in the Arctic, which would be impossible to clean up, would ruin a company like Cairn because they wouldn't be able to afford the cleanup costs. And it's a recipe for disaster. And I think what is clear from today's news is that the maths and the risks of drilling in the Arctic are so extreme that Cairn has made an incredibly bad bet by basically saying that its future lies in Greenland. Cairn have led the charge into the Arctic. They're the only company that are drilling offshore in the Arctic this year. But other companies like Shell, for instance, are looking at whether or not they're going to go ahead in places like Alaska next year. And I think Cairn's problems in Greenland should give the rest of the oil industry pause for thought, because there is no guarantee that even if they manage to drill through the icebergs and the ice flows of the far north, that they're actually going to find anything.
You're listening to North Sound Energy Week.
On Thursday this week, it emerged that hundreds of letters of support are flooding in for a planned wind farm off the coast of Aberdeen. A public consultation process has been carried out in recent months concerning the European Offshore Wind Deployment Centre. Marine Scotland has received 406 letters backing the 11-turbine scheme ahead of an expected decision early in summer next year. They've received 14 letters of objection. Donald Trump has famously opposed the plans, as have RSPB Scotland. David Roger is from energy company Vattenfall, who are leading up the project.
The project partners undertook an extensive programme of engagement in late summer along the Aberdeenshire coast. This involved several public information days, and we really welcome the fact that so many people have taken the time to write supportive letters to Marine Scotland. We certainly made a very sort of strong case for the project during our events. We received very positive feedback during the event, so we believe we've made a very strong case for both the environmental and economic benefits of the scheme. So, yeah, we're delighted to receive these letters of support for the project. I think it's very good, and it comes ahead of our expected decision on this project early next year. Well, the project itself is very much about testing the next generation of offshore wind turbines. So the opportunity for the Aberdeen area is to have the turbines tested in this site for the first time anywhere in the world. It's very much a stepping stone for Aberdeen to be part of the growing offshore renewables industry. I mean, Aberdeen's obviously made its name within oil and gas, and this is a really great opportunity for Aberdeen to become just as well known for offshore wind and offshore renewables. We're certainly hoping for a decision by early summer 2012.
To end the week on Friday, it was revealed the UK government target to eliminate fuel poverty by 2016 looks set to fail. New figures show millions are struggling to pay their bills, and 2.5 million people are already in debt with their energy supply. Supplier, with another tough winter ahead. Tom Lyon from Uswitch, who carried out the research, says that's a situation that's not likely to improve in the short term.
It's hard to see it getting better anytime soon. I mean, you know, hopefully we might see bills come down a little bit next year. No promises, but perhaps we can be a little bit hopeful. But in the long term, they're only going to go up. The number of households that we estimate are in fuel poverty, where you spend 10% of your net income at least on fuel, has now risen to 7 million households, which is an extraordinarily large number.
And that's the Energy Week podcast. I'm Fiona Winchester.
This is the North Sound Energy Week podcast.